Well, just going back over the past week, as far as the US is concerned, we're still getting pretty strong economic readings coming through. So we had revised Q1 GDP at 6.4%, same as it was in the original version, still led by household consumer spending. And but we've also got the GDP deflator, which is an alternative to the CPI. And you may recall that the CPI went up to 4.2% year on year for the most recent month. But the GDP deflator in Q1, which in the initial reading was 4.1%, they actually lifted that a couple of notches to 4.3%. So, you know, this worry about inflation starting to pick up, you know, the difficulties with supply chains leading through to materials and through to labour, it's probably going to be there for a little while yet. And so this week, I think everybody's going to be watching towards what Jerome Powell says. He's got a speech coming up later in the week. We've also got a lot of other data coming up this week, but going back to last week, some of the things that really stood out. House prices are flying in the United States. We had the March Case-Shiller House Price Index came out. It was stronger than expected, up 1.6% in the month. And the annual rate of change in house prices now across the United States is up at 13.3% year on year from 12% came back the month before. So they're flying. And in some ways, the wealth effect from that is going to keep things bubbling along as well for the time being. We did have some of the other figures that were interesting was we had a slight pause running through the housing side, but it looks like just that. So we had April new home sales came out. They fell by 5.9% after being up 7.4% the month before, so a little bit of the toing and froing running through that. The pending home sales for the month of April, they came down 4.4% unexpectedly after being up 1.7% the month before. But consumer confidence and consumer sentiment were still pretty firm. May consumer confidence, according to the Conference Board, it was at 117.5 on revision for the month of April, very high reading. It held most of that at 117.2 for the month of May. And May Michigan consumer sentiment was actually revised upwards a notch to 82.9 from 82.8. The other one that stood out was the Chicago Purchasing Managers Index that came out on Friday. This was for the month of May, and it was already at a record high, 72.1, going back to the month before. And people thought, no, it can't get any higher than that. So they had it coming back to just under 70 at 69.5. It went on to 75.2, so a new huge record high for the Chicago PMI. And of course, that's the heartland of manufacturing. And the sector which has benefited hugely in this economic upturn has been manufacturing in advanced economies. And it's certainly showing up in the US in those sorts of figures. This week in the US, it will be a quiet start because we've got the Memorial Day holiday there today. Some of the numbers we get later on, we'll get some more of those ISM PMI data for both the manufacturing sector and also the non-manufacturing sector. So the manufacturing one will come out first, and that was at 60.7. Going back to April, very high reading. You expect to hold that for the month of May. The non-manufacturing one, with the US economy starting to open up now and people are able to spend more on services as their vaccination rate means that they're less prone to lockdowns of any form going through the summer months, that roared and it went up to 66, or they're thinking it will go up to 66.5 from 62.7 going back the month before. We also, of course, have non-farm payrolls coming up at the end of the week. This one will be watched because last month we had a surprisingly low 266,000 lift in non-farm payrolls. And some of the thinking around that is that you got really generous lift in unemployment benefits, $300 a week surcharge on that, which has been extended all the way through the course of this year in the United States under the Biden plan. That means that a lot of people there are better off being unemployed than they are taking up low-paid employment. And so that's making it even harder now to fill some of those lower paid jobs. And so that was the reason for why they thought non-farm payrolls were down at 266,000 when the market thought they should have been around about a million going back to April. They think there'll be a bit of a rebound coming through, 650,000. And part of this is on the leads we've been getting out of the weekly initial jobless claims data, which has actually been coming down and came down again to 406,000 last week. And we think we'll be below 400,000 for that for the most recent week. So we have got this inconsistency at the moment between jobless claims coming down, job vacancies at a record high, businesses in the United States almost all saying that shortages of labour are their biggest problem at the moment, and non-farm payrolls not really going up. And so there's a little bit of anomaly through there, and it's probably consistent with what we're seeing throughout the entire US economy, which is demand is just roaring ahead. Supply is finding it hard to keep up. And so we're getting these pressure points which are starting to build. And this is feeding fears about inflation pressure. And at what point does the Fed buckle on this and start to talk about tapering monetary policy accommodation? At the moment, most people are thinking not in the immediate term, but they are going to be one of the earlier central banks who will start to think or talk about tapering. And that may have to occur before the end of this year. So just those pressure points from the very, very fast growth rate and the potential rebound back into higher bond yields as we go further down the track. Out of China last week, there was really nothing to report coming out of China. This week, we've got purchasing manager reports coming out. They're all May reports for the manufacturing sector, non-manufacturing sector. They'll be out later today. And it's expected that the manufacturing PMI probably goes sideways at 51.1, same as it was the month before. The non-manufacturing PMI, in the summer months, it's likely to improve. It was pretty strong at 54.9 going back to the month of April. That or a bit better, probably for the month of May. And we get the Kaixin versions of that, the private sector ones, the more reliable ones, coming out later in the week. And the Kaixin manufacturing PMI was at 51.9, expected to perhaps be around that or a little less, 51.7. And the Kaixin services PMI was actually very strong at 56.3 going back to April, and will probably hold around that level. So that's the sort of story that's coming through as far as China's concerned, really more going sideways, whereas many other economies now are really starting to accelerate. Australia last week, we had the Q1 construction work done and Q1 private capex. They both came in stronger than expected. And this is the business sector starting to spend more. It's also a sign of residential construction coming through as well. In Q1 construction work done, that was expected to lift by 2.2% quarter on quarter. It lifted by 2.4%. In amongst that, residential construction spending lifted by 5.1% quarter on quarter. So you can see it now starting to come through in work in progress in the residential sector. That's going to be a big contributor in the GDP number that comes out this week. Non-residential construction still backwards, down by 1.6%, but engineering construction work done up by 2.2%. So all told, pretty strong reading. We also had Q1 private capital expenditure. That was expected to rise by 2% in the quarter. It rose by 6.3% in the quarter. So in amongst that, we had building work up by 3.8%, and spending on plant machinery has roared, up 9.1% quarter on quarter. Also, we got another estimate of 2021-22 CapEx spend, and it's expected in the first estimate, it was $105.5 billion. I think most people thought it'd go to about $108. It went to $113. So again, businesses are pretty optimistic about what they're going to spend. Of course, last week, we had the Victorian lockdown as well. And the way to look at this is it's probably the last lockdown will get anywhere in Australia. And the reason for that is that, you know, we are starting to get some vaccination rates up a long way. And in terms of first vaccinations, where people aren't fully protected, that's about 20% of the adult population and is rising fast. In terms of full vaccination, that's only 2%, but will be rising now about 1.5 percentage points a week as those who've had their first vaccination start to get their second vaccinations. So as that starts to become a much larger number, there's way less reason why you go for blanket lockdowns when you get a problem with COVID-19. So that's, in one sense, this is the last hurrah for big shutdowns for states, the one that's happening in Victoria at the moment. It's not to say it's not necessary. It was in the circumstances we're in. But it does some short-term damage, depending on how long it lasts. If it is only a week, we lose maybe 0.1, 0.2% out of Q2 GDP, which is already going to be a very strong number anyway. If it lasts longer, we take a little bit more out of that, but it's still not going to dent severely Q2 GDP. I think it's one of the reasons why financial markets are reading through this, and you could get the equity market roaring on to a new high going towards the late part of last week. This week in Australia, today we've got some private credit data. This is now regularly rising around 0.4% a quarter. This is the stock of credit. It's annualising now around about 5%, that's growing all the time. And, of course, the main thing that's driving it is housing credit, which is growing rather more than 0.4% every month. So that's the strength which is starting to run through. Tomorrow we'll get some more quarterly contributions to Q1 GDP. We get things like the Q1 current account, which was in a huge surplus going back to Q4 last year, $14.5 billion. Market thinks that'll come back a touch to 13.1. I'm not so sure about that. I think if anything, it might be a bit higher than it was going back to Q4. As a result of that, net export contribution the market has is minus 0.3 percentage points to GDP from minus 0.1 going back to Q4 last year. Again, I think there's a chance it might be a bit better than that. We also get Q1 company profits and Q1 inventories. The market still thinks that Q1 company profits were down. I'm not so sure about that either. Had it down by 4%, and Q1 inventories rising by about 0.2%. We also have April home building approvals coming out. Market's looking for another 3% lift in that, on top of the 17.4% lift the month before. And we've got the RBA meeting, where our RBA is not for shifting yet. It's interesting because last week we had the RBNZ who are starting to change their guidance towards interest rates in New Zealand, potentially now starting to rise in 2012. The RBA is not at that point. I think they're going to be quite a laggard in all this. The next major central bank which starts to show some signs of tapering will probably be the Fed. People are talking about potential for the July meeting here being a significant one where they can start to talk about the support for the three-year bond market and other bits and pieces that they may be doing relating to monetary policy, but no really significant shifts to monetary policy here likely probably for this year going into 2022, but at some point in 2022 would expect to see the RBA shifting. On Wednesday we get Q1 GDP. And market consensus on that is it will rise 2.5% quarter on quarter. If that's where it comes in, the annual rate of change will go from minus 1.1% in Q4 last year to plus 1.8%. In other words, we've gone from deep recession in the middle of last year to above where we were before the recession set in record-breaking time in just 9 months. And that is by far and away the fastest economic recovery ever recorded. So that will be a pretty significant figure when it comes out. April international trade comes out on Thursday. If anything, this has expanded again to a surplus of around about $8 billion from $5.5 billion going back the month before. And on Friday, we get April retail trade, which probably lifted 1.1%. We had a preliminary figure which showed it lifted 1.1% after being up 1.3% the month before. In Europe, the leading economic indicators are starting to roar as they start to look towards a much better summer spending period than occurred last year with restrictions coming back. So we had the May Business and Consumer Sentiment Survey came out. It was already very strong at 110.5 going back to April. It was expected to lift to 112. It lifted to 114.5. So businesses and consumers getting much, much more optimistic there. The data we're getting this week, we've got the April unemployment rate coming out. It was down to 8.1% in March, expected to hold down around that level. One which is worth watching on Wednesday, we've got April producer prices coming out. These were already lifting at 4.3% year-on-year going back to March. The market expects that will lift to 7.3% year-on-year for the month of April. This is something which is starting to happen all around the world, the supply chain shortages are leading to a significant lift in producer prices, which ultimately, of course, get into consumer prices. Central banks at the moment are saying this is all temporary. Pardon me. But the issue is, how temporary really is this? That's going to be the story as we look further forward, this clash between rocketing global economic growth or rocketing demand and supply, which is really struggling to catch up with that demand, and so the pressures which start to come through on prices. On Friday, we've got April retail sales out of Europe. They had some lockdowns through April, so they're expecting it to come back 5% after being up by 2.7%. But all told, we've still got an old and familiar story. Economies continue to march onwards and upwards. Still supported by very, very accommodating policies for the time being. And so we still have risk assets which are responding to that and still will do for a short while yet. And that's notwithstanding the lockdown that's there in Victoria.